Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
The peace broker in chief, Trump, is at the Alaska summit that's happening right now in Anchorage, despite Zelensky's best effort to derail it. Hillary is singing a new tune, saying she'll nominate Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize if he secures peace between Putin and Zelensky. The assault of science, falsely so-called, against human liberties, freedom, and the right of consent. And what's this? Big Pharma is going to mail the vax. So, you know, you got Gates and his goons sending the vax to you with mosquito syringes, chasing you down with those. And now he's preparing to deliver it by tick bite. What's with this guy? The weaponization of insects. And now it's going to be delivered by your local post office. Wow. They really want us to get this mRNA business into your body. But there's hope. Fauci is formally under investigation for perjury for his lies about funding gain of function research. We're denying that. That should put them all on notice. Child predators are prowling for your kids on Roblox, the gaming platform. You'd better watch carefully. Be alert, parents. Okay, I think that should do it. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The peace broker in chief. Trump is at the Alaska summit, happening in Anchorage right now, as I prepare my show notes, despite Zelensky's best effort to derail the peace. What's that? Huh? Oh, you don't know. Well, Zelensky launched a massive drone attack on Russia the day before, throwing a fit, killing people in the process, all because Trump is meeting Putin without him. For real? Well, there's probably more to it than only that, but Zelensky's Euro friends are counseling him. It's easy to give counsel to someone who wants to do what you're advising. Try telling them the truth and see what you get. Oh, that's right. Trump tried that. And this is what you get. Europeans like John Bolton want Ukraine to become part of NATO and finally use Ukraine as a base to encircle Putin. All they're going to do is push Putin into the arms of China. You need to watch the prophecy of Daniel 7. Keep your eyes on that prophecy. The second beast is a Russia-Iran alliance that has three talking ribs in its mouth, which are saying, "Arise, devour much flesh." It's the second phase of the geopolitical developments prophesied that lead to the rise of the man of sin. You know him as the Antichrist. Anyway, Europe is encouraging Zelensky to refuse any deal that involves ceding or conceding land for peace. European hypocrites, how many times have you pressured Israel to give up land for peace? There is a difference, you say. Okay, well, I'm listening. Israel responded to attacks and took territory from their enemies. Putin attacked Ukraine, occupied its territory, and now demands that territory be ceded to him. Well, Ukraine did not attack Russia. Russia attacked Ukraine. I hear you. Didn't Ukraine provoke the attack by talking about joining NATO? Well, that doesn't justify Russia moving in like they did. I agree. But hold on. I don't want Ukraine included in NATO. For sure, now that I've seen what kind of nut job Zelensky is, that idiot would have us in World War III within a month. Otherwise, the problem is that when the Russian Federation disbanded, the deal was that Ukraine would never join NATO. I'm sorry, that's what the deal was. So you got to broker a new deal, okay? But that was a deal. Breaking that deal gives Russia a grievance, a legitimate grievance. And the Biden administration knew how Putin would respond to Ukraine in NATO overtures. And so no doubt that's why, almost as soon as they completed the theft of the 2020 election and found the keys to the Oval Office, little inside there, the old Biden-Harris administration began sending out overtures of Ukraine entering into NATO. You know, it's almost surreal how openly hypocritical these people are. Obama made a deal that essentially gave Crimea to Russia, and nobody blinked. Europe said nothing. There was no pontificating about, how dare you give any part of Ukraine to Russia? There was none of that. The left said nothing. Nobody cared. Ukraine never officially accepted Russia's occupation of Crimea, by the way. But it is de facto in the control of Russia and has been for, what, 11 years or more? And by the way, you must listen to these people very closely. Zelensky lately declared that he would never officially recognize Russia's occupation of Crimea, Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson. Ukraine has never officially recognized Russia's occupation of Crimea, since 2014. So anyway, Russia occupies about 19% of the country, or over 44,000 square miles at present. The old Biden era had possession of the Epstein files for many years. Now, wait, I haven't taken a left turn. I'm making a point. And they never released them. But now they're calling for their release. Europe and the left have been content to allow Russia to occupy Crimea. But now they're indignantly criticizing Trump because he's suggesting, how dare he, suggesting that Ukraine might have to give up some territory occupied by Russia in this. It's so blatantly hypocritical. It kind of is. It's nauseating. It sounds so self-righteous, right? So righteous. So simple. So simple, even Kamala could understand it, right? Remember that? Russia is this big, you know, this great big country, and she's holding her hands showing a big country, and then that attacked Ukraine, which is a little country, and she's showing how small it is by her hands. And for Bolton, it's all also very simple. Russia invaded Ukraine. End of discussion. Russia bad? Russia cannot be allowed to gain territory in Ukraine by aggression. There you go. Simple. And for simple minds, it is simple. So now you get closer to the whole thing, and you find out some interesting nuances here. The cultural reciprocity between the specific areas, not all of Ukraine, but those areas presently occupied, is such that if you ask the people, they would say they're Russian. Much of the area near the border of Russia identifies culturally with Russia. A few of these regions had a public referendum on the question and chose to be annexed to Russia. I know. Listen, you're making a mistake if you think I'm arguing in favor of what Russia has done. You're not paying attention. Look, those elections were not sanctioned or recognized by Kiev. I get it. So they're not legal. That's agreed. But that's not the point I'm making. I'm saying the people in those regions, most of them, they don't care about this stupid war or about being included in NATO. Now, there are some Ukrainians that do. And these are people who, in the main, have some historical connection to the issues that brought about the collapse of the Soviet Union. And I'm angry at the Biden administration and at Europe for agitating this war and giving Putin a pretext to invade. It's a pretext. For pretending the Obama solution to give up Crimea for peace was okay, but now self-righteously puffing out their chests, pounding their pulpits, as it were, about no land for peace. It just rings hollow. The same people who chastise Israel into exchanging land for peace, when in their case, they were attacked repeatedly and their actions were in self-defense, occupying land that was by right of the law of war, theirs to keep. So they gave up Gaza, yielding to the pressure from the United States at that time and Europe, and gave it to the Palestinians, the Philistines, if you will. And I have only one thing to say, one date to throw down at your feet, one event that splashes its blood onto your own wicked hands, October the 7th. So let me surprise you. The entire business is about, in my view, getting us into a world war to save the Fed. That's my opinion. I don't have time to flesh it out for you here. perhaps on a Brain Massage Live episode, I think Putin was not only aware of Hillary's plan to create the Russia collusion hoax, something we now know to be true, but I think he was read in on the plan. I don't believe Putin ever preferred Trump to Hillary. That's nonsense. I've been saying that all along. And any interference he would have injected into the 2020 election would have been on the side of Hillary, not on the side of Trump. So the violent who take power by force, you know, the Bolton types, the left, they don't understand Trump. They think he's naively conceding to Putin. Yeah, they think he's naive in his foreign policy dealings, that they're the sophisticates and they know how it should be done. Well, let me explain. Habakkuk 1:5, we'll start there. Behold ye among the heathen, that's the Gentiles, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. End quote. Now you're going to be amazed at what God is doing among the heathen today. Keep your eye on Daniel 7. Trump brings a whole new game to the field of foreign affairs. His perspective seems to be leveraging peace through trade. In other words, I think he understands what small minds like Bolton do not. You're not going to resolve the core conflicts between these nations, friend. Bolton is an arrogant twit. No, really. I'm not being mean. I'm describing the guy. It's in the dictionary, you know, this word twit. It's a silly, annoying person. And interestingly, it's rooted in Middle English, a twitten, and it means to reproach someone for being foolish or simple-minded. It's from witten, or witten, which means to know. But the prefix added indicates a pretension to knowing. The term fits Bolton perfectly. He's a twit. He pretends to know and arrogantly despises Trump, who is running circles around the twit. Bolton arrogantly dismisses Trump's achievements in brokering peace around the world. I mean, Armenia and Azerbaijan, August 8th, ending 35 years of hostility there and killing. And then in late July, he brokered an end to raging conflict between Cambodia and Thailand. In June, he brokered a cessation of hostilities between Rwanda and Congo. Also in June, our president brokered peace between Iran and Israel. Now, in that case, he used some tactics even Bolton would have approved. Bomb, 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 Iran. Okay. In May, India and Pakistan reached a ceasefire after serious confrontations over Kashmir. Tensions between Serbia and Kosovo were escalating, and Trump intervened to de-escalate that before it broke into open war. He also had a hand in brokering a ceasefire between Egypt and Ethiopia. And that's what is that, a peace deal per month? This is unreal. Nobody pursued peace like this man is doing. But guys like Bolton and his fellow Trump naysayers point out that he did not resolve the core issues in these conflicts. Well, he did directly address the core issue regarding Iran. Yes, they wanted a nuke and Trump said, nope. But the accusation is that these peace deals are really more like ceasefires that leave the conflicts simmering below the surface. The tensions, the problems are not resolved, placing a sort of superficial facade of peace over it. I'm going to show you why that's like so totally biblical. Yeah. You're going to love it when I get back. I'll explain what Trump gets that none of these twits understand. I'll be right back.
Most believe Satan owns the world and has the right to rule it. They think Christians should leave politics to unbelievers, that believers have no place in government. Well, Christians, how's that working for you? You see, the fact is Satan has fed you a lie. Satan depends on Christians staying in the dark about the fact that Jesus Christ defeated him, and Satan has no right to rule one square inch of territory on this planet. Learn the truth. It will set you free. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach. I pastor Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And I'm your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Twit Bolton thinks he's smarter than Trump. He's of the old guard, you know. The people who thought the only way to resolve a conflict between nations was to choose a side and go to war. There are situations like that. The conflict between Israel and Iran is an example, a recent one. And Trump has chosen his side and he's going to support Israel. But he would not have bombed Iran only because he supports Israel. It's not his style. He bombed Iran because he understood those crazy people are a threat to America, and they could not be allowed to have a nuclear bomb, period. So he sent in the bombers and destroyed their nuclear plant, and that's that. And by the way, not only did Trump act, he acted specifically and with a targeted attack. He targeted specifically the issue of concern, period. He didn't just try to wipe out the whole nation or beat the whole nation. He just specifically addressed the issue. It's brilliant. He acted decisively. He utilized the full strength of the U.S. to end the conflict in such a way that there was no drawn out bunch of nonsense. You know, he just got it done. My guess is that the General Millies of the past would have argued for some kind of convoluted land war that would have gone on for years and years, you know, a measured response and junk like that. The twits have been running these scenarios for a long time. It's past time to move them aside and let real men address these problems, and smart ones. Now, some issues are complex. Cultural conflicts that have roots that run into centuries-old hatreds, like Ezekiel said, "Thus saith the Lord God, the Philistines," Palestinians, "have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with a despiteful heart to destroy it for the old hatred." Many of them are simpler, like Ukraine and Russia. Russia wants Ukraine. Ukraine wants to join NATO. That's it. Neither is going to get what they want. The issues between Rwanda and the Congo are in some ways similar. Each side has something it wants, and that's not going to change. You're not going to change that. You're not going to fix that. Russia is never going to give up on wanting Ukraine. Ukraine's never going to give up on wanting, well, at least as long as Zelensky's there, they're not going to give up on wanting to be in NATO. I don't think the Ukrainians care one bit for NATO. I think that's something people with another agenda are pursuing. And I think Putin wants Ukraine and Zelensky wants to satisfy his globalist handlers who want to remove Putin from power in Russia. Now, I could care less about whether Putin runs Russia. But I don't have any business in getting myself into that. Trump understands that he is not going to change what Russia wants or what Russia is. He's not going to change what Ukraine wants or what Ukraine is. He's not going to change the leaders of Rwanda or what they want or the leaders of Congo. And so, in other words, he's not going to make any attempt to do what can't be done. Right? In many of these cases, neither is right in their agenda. It would be foolish to take one side against the other. So he says, in effect, hey, what do you kill each other for? Why do you want to break each other's stuff? How about we just do some business together? What do you say? Right? You've got stuff I need and want. I've got stuff you need and want. And I think they have some stuff you want and need and whatever. And so how about we work out a deal where you get to enjoy prosperity and abundance, and we can enjoy prosperity and abundance in peace. We can live with at least without open hostility and killing each other and breaking our things. How about that? How about another path? How about we just get together and do some business? All right. Or if you want to do business with me, then I'm telling you, you got to stop killing each other and breaking each other's things. That's it. That's all. Now, someone cries, yeah, but what about the issues? You haven't addressed the core issues of the conflict. So this is not real peace. And you know what? You're right. It's peace, peace, when there is no peace, prophesied in Jeremiah 6:14. It heals the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. You ever notice that? It does have some value. But I'm telling you, it's the closest you're going to come to peace until Jesus returns. Look, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Isaiah 48:22, 57:21. But there can be a cessation of hostilities brokered over mutual interests in trade. I observed many years ago as a prophecy student that the Bible tells us there will be a time in prophecy. I don't know how long it'll last, but there's going to be a time, and it's coming, when Israel's neighbors, Ishmael, and the Arabs are going to cease their hostilities against Israel. And they're going to embrace their brother Isaac for the sake of economic agreements. Yeah, they're going to come together over trade. God has raised up the man to initiate this period of peace, peace, when there is no peace. And friend, I'm telling you, it's the closest thing you're going to get to anything like peace on earth till Jesus comes. But there's something more dangerous than a superficial peace. and that is constant open war and the arrogance of assuming anyone can force peace on earth. That's also a peace when there isn't any. Only Christ can bring genuine and lasting peace. The internal peace of God and the fraternal peace with God only comes by the gospel of peace. This thing that will have everybody talking peace when there is none might include significant reductions in hope and hostility, and that would be good. Still, it will be only a cessation of open hostilities for the sake of prosperity. However, according to prophecy, it will include a period of time during which religious freedom will prevail. Micah 4 verse 5. It will occur in the last days, according to Micah 4 verse 1. The Spirit says, all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God, little g, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God, big G, Micah 4 verse 5. Hello? That's not the millennium. In the millennium, the rule's going to be, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, there shall be one Lord and his name one, Zechariah 14:9. In these last days before the end comes, every nation in the world is going to hear the gospel of the kingdom. That's what Jesus said, Matthew 24:14. I believe there will be a great harvest of souls for the kingdom of God's dear son during this period. When this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world for a witness to every nation, Jesus will then come for us and remove us from this earth. Then the creep, who is going to impose a peace on earth, is going to rise to power and force a one-world government compelling everyone to yield to his rule and receive his mark of loyalty in your right hand or forehead, and he'll use access to the world's economy as the way to enforce his peace. You can't buy or sell without the mark. Resolving the Palestinian conflict is not going to happen by removing the inborn, inbred enmity, that old hatred that Ezekiel talked about. Won't happen. The reason that reason cannot prevail in the matter of, say, Gaza or among the Palestinians generally is that virtually all of these people support Hamas and their irrational hatred for Israel. There is a deep-rooted spiritual enmity between them. The spirit of Antichrist hates the spirit of Jesus Christ. It's that deep. And the matter is not as simple as there's something I want and then there's something you want. This is irrational. It's founded upon the old hatred that Ezekiel talked about in Ezekiel 22:15. So here's what God's going to do. Ezekiel 25:16, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will stretch out mine hand upon the Philistines, say Palestinians, and I will cut off the Cherethims, the people of that land, and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. Oh, no difference between Hamas and so-called Palestinian, friend. They're all the same. There's an Arab styled a son of Hamas whose name is Mossab Hussein Yosef. He openly condemns Palestinians who pretend they have some righteous cause that unites them against Israel. While they refuse to condemn the genocidal agenda of Hamas, he says, you're going to fail. This cause must die. He warns, like a prophet, that this will blow up in the faces of so-called Palestinians. He says, there are no Palestinians. There are only tribes. And he names the tribe of Hamas, he names several others, and he says, the only thing keeping these savage tribes from killing each other is their mutual hatred for Israel. He says, this cannot continue. You can't sustain that. He said, since October 7, I don't differentiate between Hamas and so-called Palestinians. They're the same thing. He flatly declares, this cause must die. My point, in the same way that the disparate and hostile groups among the Arabs or Arab tribes find common cause to unite them and turn their attention from their hatred for each other to their hatred for Israel, and which, by the way, does not resolve any of their tribal rivalry or hatred. But it does give them a different focus, which forces a sort of ceasefire between these tribes. Trump is attempting to provide a common interest that will supersede their petty tribal conflicts. Trade. A mutual ambition to prosper. Appeal to in order to trump their petty differences, motivating them to their own destruction. They will be at peace, but in the same way these savage people temper their hatred for one another and band together in their hatred for Israel, Trump wants them to band together around their mutual interest in prosperity, in abundance, in winning. Jesus' spirit says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The Antichrist spirit at work in the world and among these people is, I have come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's it, simple as it can be. If you pay attention to prophecy, the period of peace when there is no peace, is driven by concessions agreed to in the interests of trade, prosperity, and abundance. Isaiah chapter 2, Micah 4, read them, pay attention. The core differences will not be sorted out until Jesus returns. You know, and even then, it's only subdued by the iron rod rule of King Jesus, together with the banishment of the agitator Satan into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. When Satan is loosed after that period, he immediately begins his treacherous insurrection efforts against Christ and stirs up the world against him, and then, well, it's over. Here comes the fire that melts the elements with fervent heat and the great white throne judgment and the new heaven and the new earth, Revelation 19:21. Okay, more on this Saturday night for Brain Massage Live at about 7 p.m. and on Sunday in the pulpit of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Come on out and meet me if you haven't, or if you've been by before, but it's been a while, come on out and say hi. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button and, you know, fill out the form there and send it to me. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, 805-314-2114. And if you want some of Becky's healing tea, then just say, I want some tea, and we'll get back to you. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Most believe Satan owns the world and has the right to rule it. They think Christians should leave politics to unbelievers, that believers have no place in government. Well, Christians, how's that working for you? You see, the fact is Satan has fed you a lie. Satan depends on Christians staying in the dark about the fact that Jesus Christ defeated him, and Satan has no right to rule one square inch of territory on this planet. Learn the truth. It will set you free. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Let my people breathe. Unmasking the mass controversy with science and scripture answers two questions and answers both definitively. Do masks work? That's the science part of the book. And after 964 scientific articles were examined, producing over 800 pages of notes comparing the studies with what real science says, the definitive answer is no. Chapter 5 is worth the price of the book. Natural filtration versus the masks. It'll blow your mind. Second question, are medical mandates supported by the scripture injunction to obey every ordinance of man? Author and theologian Dr. Jerry Scheidbach has an earned doctorate and an earned reputation for excellent biblical insight and exegesis. He will show from the Bible that mask mandates are not supported by scripture. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.